Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm willing to bet you really enjoyed part one of the big interview with West Ham's Robert Snodgrass. For this follow-up episode, I recommend not necessarily listening in a public place with the sound very high. Be prepared to laugh, sometimes uncontrollably. You know Robert Snodgrass, the footballer. Meet Snoddy, the king of the prank calls, and learn about why some of his managers have been unbelievably special to him in what has sometimes been a difficult, bumpy football career. Enjoy. A por ello. Nos vemos. Your love of the phone, prank calls.
Yes.
Would you like, is there anything psychological you like to share about that? What's the...
Honestly,
can you do a Welsh accent?
No, I don't know. I don't think I can. I need to be in game mode for this. It got me off guard here. And I don't
want to... have to do it now, but
I don't want to give you the voices because I could phone you in years to come and, and pretend.
You see, this is... I'm in this instance, I'm Gary McAllister.
Yep.
Because I've heard lots of things.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just asking you straight, you know?
Yeah.
In phone terms, are you a bad lad? Who have you pranked? When did it start?
Oh, it started for you.
Of those you can share, which has been the best?
I'll share a few with you. There was me and there was a footballer who's one of my best mates. He was a usher at my wedding, a boy called Scott McLaughlin, who had a great, he had a great career. He had about 600 games and played with Livingston, through the sort of the low leagues in Scotland. And he's honestly, his voices are amazing, you know. and we pranked everybody. We had an ex-teammate of ours, who was coming through, and his dad's got shares in at St Johnson, boys called Scott Finlay, and he was keeper. So every single time I'm pranking anybody on the phone, it's, listen, I'll be honest with you, you say I'm a bad lad, I'm honestly easily led, right? Because everybody goes,
a big boy phoned him and ran away,
listen,
is that right?
Oh, listen, Snods, I've got this guy here, I want you to phone him. And I'm like, give me the number. I'm not even hesitating. Just give me the number, and I'll think of a story in my head at the time. So I says, let's go. So his dad at the time was quite successful, and he ran a lot of events and different things, you know. So we rang him up, me and Scott. And this was a daily thing. This happened every single day, and I thought, I didn't care who I was hurting in the process. I thought, I need to laugh. I love laughing. So I thought, and I don't want to stop. So I thought, let's do it. And phoned him up, and he says, how you doing, Scott? Events team or whatever. We want to bring Sugar Ray Leonard to, you know, the events with your dad and all that stuff, you know. So he's come in hook like zinker, thinking, Sugar Ray Leonard's coming to Perth. Sugar Ray's coming to Perth. So we're thinking to ourselves. So we had him hook, line, sinker. And we says, for an hour fee, with you and your old man or whatever it was, we says, we'll get Mike Tyson there as well. So he's went for his one phone call thinking, Sugar Ray's coming, Mike Tyson's coming. And he's getting a one-on-one with Mike Tyson. And it was just, you know, just like creating that in your head. It was amazing. And we went through that was just the start. We went through the gears, you know. But Jimmy Brulard done him as well. I said to Jimmy, he was going on Sky Sports Game Changers when he came out the jungle, and he was getting up and he was dressing up as a big furry bear because he had an argument in the jungle with one of the lads in there. And everybody online, I think, was calling him a big bully. So saying, Jimmy, you're a bully, you know, the kid's younger and all that stuff. So I phoned him. And this, again, was somebody else. And somebody went, listen, I've got Jimmy Bullard's number here. Do you want to ring him? Give me his number. Give me it. I'll ring him. So there we go. I rang him. And I says, Jimmy, I says, listen. I says, it's, how are you doing, Jim? It's Ian Jenkins here. How are you? And he is hook, line, sinker. And he goes, oh, like, mate, what can I do for you? And I says to him, listen, why don't you dress up as a big furry bear, come out in Sky Sports Game Changers? And he goes, well, I'm not saying no to that. He says, but have you got any consecutive work? I says, well, there's loads of different animals you can dress up. And I'm no joking. I was sitting watching the boxing. I think it was Tommy Coyle against Luke Campbell. It was like the Battle of Hull, basically. So Jimmy must have been watching this because he used to play with Hull. And he's seen me on the TV. And he's seen, obviously, his mate is there as well. Do you know what I mean? So we're in the crowd. So just random, this boy turns around and goes, that's for Jimmy Bullard. And I'm like, ah. So I reads a message out. He goes, you Scottish I'm coming for you. He says, you want me to dress up as a big furry bear? I'm like, oh, what? Brilliant. You know what I mean? What is the chances of him here? Like, you know what I mean? So random.
How have you figured it?
Because somebody told him, like, in the company or something like that, he says, oh, do you want to ring him or something like that? And I thought, honestly, absolutely amazing. But some of the things we've done, the boy Nick Montgomery for Sheffield United, played many times in the Premier League for Sheffield United. We're sitting there with all the lads, we're away, Leeds, and Lee Bromby turns to me, he goes, I used to play with Nick Montgomery. He says, oh, desperate to get called up for Scotland. And I goes, I says, do you want me to ring him? Let's go. So then, here we go. I've rang Nick Montgomery. He's played for the under-21s. And I've went, Nick, how you doing? It's Richard Simpson here for SFA in Glasgow. And his reply was brilliant. He goes, Richard, I've been waiting for you phoning for the last 4 years. And I thought, you beauty.
Done already.
So I've done that. I says, Nick, that's the attitude we want here. That's exactly what it's all about. I says, do me a favour, go and tell me what size I suit you. And he goes, I'm a 40. He goes, I'm a 40 regular. And I says, brilliant. So I says, what size of tie are you? Like, I swear to God, right? And I sees him, honestly, I can hear his feet running up the stairs. And he's halfway up, and he goes, size of tie? And I goes, with your build, you're probably a medium, right? I says, and that was it. I thought, perfect. So he's got his agent, he's got this in the paper. Nick Montgomery gets called up for Scotland. And I'm thinking, Jesus Christ, how has this escalated into sitting? So he phones up, let's say this, I'm not joking you. He phones up Lee Bromby, he goes, Lee, I've heard through contacts, Robert Snodgrass has prank phone called me. He says, if I find out this is true, I'm going to go off my fucking head, right? And I'm like that, I says, well, I says, Lee, listen, I says, if you want me to talk to him, I'll say to him, listen, mate, it was only a bit of banter, whatever, you know, we'll just have a laugh with it, you know what I mean? But no, his mum wasn't keeping too good, and she always wanted him to get for Scotland. So Lee Bromby is when, yeah, Snods went in my phone.
No!
He's put me in the shit, and I'm thinking, Broms, why have you done this? I seen him months and months later, and it turns out he stayed around the corner for me where I was from in Leeds. I didn't even know, you know. And I seen him, and we shook hands and a big hug and all that stuff, and he was just like, oh, listen, mate, it was the time where my mum, she wasn't keeping too good, and that's why it hurt him. Do you know what I mean? And I thought, that's me, I'm getting into pranky rehab. I'm off the prank calls, no more. Dusted it, and I put the phone away, and I went, that's it, I'm done. And then since then, I've only come out on special occasions, but I'll keep it for another time. We had Darna D, and he was a big influence in sort of those young lads' careers. Him, Charlie McGrew, and Charlie Grant, Michael McGlinchey, all the lads I played at Scotland with, you know. And Darna D tells a great story about Tommy Burns. He says, you know, God rest his soul, he's what a man he was. And he says that he's telling the lads a story, and he goes, he just dropped Paul Hartley. And I think it was for Champions League night. It was a game midweek. Zico was fuming. He says to Tommy Burns, go and have a word with Zico. And he goes, me? You've dropped him. How am I having a word with him? And he says,
it's not bad, Tommy.
He says, a gaffer, you know, they drove me, you know, it's a bit, but the gaffer's sick. And he's well like that. The gaffer's sick. Tommy Burns went, aye, sick of watching you play shite every week.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
You come. There you go.
Take that, it's uppercut, brilliant.
And I thought, what a man, do you know what I mean? And it was, he was for, just stayed down the road from me. He was in Calton and I was in Gallagate, which is St Mary's and St Anne's, just you know, stone throw away from each other. And you know what sort of he done in his name. He's just a legend.
He's a brilliant, brilliant man. And I remember I was in Spain watching his funeral, and I was really touched in a city like we were talking about, where everybody knew how close he and Walter were.
Yeah.
And everybody knew how much damage Walter's Rangers had done to Tommy Celtic career, because it was always Gorman McCoist. And, you know, when Walter spoke at the funeral and was so central to it, it was a beautiful image, and it represented how important Tommy was as a man. Liam Young, one of our socios, says, has Robert ever been close to playing abroad? Or, if you had your time again, would you do so?
Yes.
Liam says that he feels that more players, Scots, playing across Europe would benefit the Scotland national team.
Yeah, he's spot on, and I think learning a different culture on the way they think of the game, the way they study it. And yes, I would have liked to have played abroad. I'd have loved to have done it just to experience it. And I think I had a chance after an under 17 or 18 tournament with Scotland. It was Real Valladolid.
Currently owned by Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah.
He's their president.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, okay. Well, that was the thing, obviously, came out about the Barcelona thing. I don't know if you obviously seen it like that. It was, and that was exactly right after that tournament. So it was Vivian Kyles at the time called me up, and she says, listen, there's two inquiries from Real Valladolid and Barcelona, they want you to go on trial. And I was like, I said, where the hell's that came from? I wasn't even playing at Livingston at the time. Vivian Kyles, she was the chief executive at the time at Livingston, you know. Okay. So she brought me up and she was like, Robert's a great chance. And I was like, listen, I'm definitely there, you know what I mean? I'll go and see what I can do or whatever. And listen, see, that was the hardest part, was nothing ever materialised out of that. And, you know, as a young kid, you know, even just to get mentioned in the same breath, it was amazing. But it's something I've had to answer throughout my career that
ask that, because we've seen how many times you had to say, look, I don't really know.
I don't know about it, and that's but the...
Liam's point, I think, was about your ambitions. We didn't know about Valladolid, for example. And I imagine, given what we talked about off mic, your love of La Liga, and also your brand of, you know, the ball is your friend.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
We winding down, because I have to let you back to your London life, your beautiful London life, but I don't want to stop without giving you a choice, because I'd like to, this is a beautiful occasion for us, it's really important, we've had some laughs,
you're witty and sharp and you know, a great character, but you're living the privileged life that we all wish we'd been able to do. Not
yes.
the money and the fame, but playing football for a living. Yes. Either we could talk a bit technically about how you see spaces, how you use your left foot, when you bend a shot in, whether it's a free kick or on the run, we could do a little technical thing. Or I'm interested also, as a separate thing, letting people know about the Premier League, what it's like, the things that we don't see, because it's really well packaged and it's put up all there and it's shiny casing and all that. But we don't know about where are the bad dressing rooms, where are the good dressing rooms, where's the friendliest club, who gives you a beautiful welcome, yeah. Which fans are still not corporate and prawn sandwich, but still a little bit in your face. The things that right now, other than representing your club well, putting your wage in the bank and making the best of yourself as a footballer, make you get up on a wet Wednesday in March to say, Saturday we're going there, and that's what I like about that, the smell of that ground, or the arrive in the stadium, the other coach, the jip I know I'm going to get from the right back. Do we go on the character of the Premier League to finish off, or do we go on the technique of your ability, your choice?
Listen, I'm going to try and mix both of them in. The biggest thing I always want to do when I was playing was try and go through the gears, or sort of saying, right, well, you know, you're through League One, or you're playing all the different levels, and you get to the Premier League and you go, this is where the big boys are at, you know, and you sort of say to yourself, right, Rob, you go with the flow, you maybe get a chance, let it pass you by, but to say, oh, you've played in the Premier League. But for me, it was something different, you know. I just felt as if you come up against, you know, your top players, your Steven Gerrards. You see him, you see Gareth Bale, you know, sort of the big names, and you say to yourself, Jesus, you know, these boys are, you know, they're at the very top in their game. But in that team that they're playing, that people don't realise, every single person in that team are top players, but doing their jobs to make those guys are what they are, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. You know. And they do that a little bit different, and I thought, well, Rob, listen, you can float by and you can play the game, whatever it was. I just thought, I have to do something different, you know. I need to be, you know, somebody who gets on the set pieces and tries to shoot for angles, or, you know, do something different. You know, I started to add things into my game where it was, you know, nutrition. How can I then, you know, get my body fat really low? How can I get my mental focus on saying, you know, how can I get sort of 5 to 10 goals? You know, then you start comparing yourself with these lads and going, how can I then try and be like them? Don't get me wrong, you'll never ever get like them. But when I got my move to Hull, I was one of the highest scoring midfielders, and I came back for a 16-month injury at that point, which a lot of people probably won't know still, probably to this day. But yeah, I did, and that surgeon told me that day, Robert, if you get back to any sort of level, you've done well. And I thought, your roots kind of come back in at that point, and you go, and I looked at him and I thought, that's what you're telling everybody. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you, and I'm going to get back to a level, and I'm going to push on, and I'm going to get to the, you know, the heights of the Premier League. Because I'll be honest, that season I was in the Premier League, I played 25 minutes in the game, got relegated that season, played 25 minutes, my dad's 70th birthday, had a party organised for him, remember it as if it was yesterday. And that feeling, to somebody say to you, you're out for 6 months, to then say to you, no, you're out for 16 months, and you're probably not going to play at any sort of level, that feeling is what a lot of the lads speak about, mental health right now, and different things. That's one of the worst feelings that you could go through.
Lonely.
What do you do? Sink or swim? Do you feel sorry for yourself? Hit the drink? Do what you need to do? I never touched a drop of alcohol for 2 years, and I thought, right, if you're not going to come back, again, comes back to your roots, don't be like any fault of your own. Go, puff your chest out and try and be the best person you can be, and lead by example to every one of your teammates who are going through injury at the exact same time. Do everything you can possibly do. You're getting home at 7 o'clock at night, you've got your kids there, you're leaving the swimming pool stinking of chlorine, different things, and you know it needs to start all over again in the morning. You get through the full season, get relegated, no kick to ball. I remember in the changing room, the lads down, all over the place, and I went, well, cheers, I've just got a 50% deduction in my wage. I says, because of you last season, you know, every one of the lads were laughing and thought, fuck me, that guy, he's just, you know, he's just took a massive hit. And then the next day, they were away on holiday, and I had to go down.
Back to work.
Back to the everyday graph, where sort of get myself fit, no, if I'm going to come back again. But everything that was in my head, I had a sniff of the Premier League, but I always thought, what would they top boys do? What would they do, you know? And then you get a taste of it where you just say there about going to football grounds and seeing the crowd, you can smell the hot dogs, you can smell the pies, and, you know, those different feelings where it's such, listen, it is what it is, but it's something different about match day, and it's that drive and that focus. Everybody, the training every day, the lads will tell you, it's a, you know, you come in, you have a bit of banter, you have a laugh, and you know, when lads have made their money and have done their appearances, what gives you that drive inside? Well, it's you. You've got to keep the drive inside. I've played nearly 600 games in my career. I've went through the gears that I would say that I feel as if learning the game, studying the game, learning about nutrition, sleep, rest, every single thing you can think of, you can look, but you can only be the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's where I feel as if I did max, you know, my career up until now, where and I can look you in the eye and say to you, I'm still doing that. I'm still driving to be a better player. I'm still driving to be a better teammate. I'm still driving to focus on everyday life on how I can be a better dad. Do you know what I mean? Something so small where you do think about different things and you do think about how you can affect a young lad where he's maybe watching you in the gym and saying, you know, or practicing shooting every day. That's what I'm still doing at nearly turning 33. And you know, at this moment in time, in our team at 33, I've got the most assists and goals. So, listen, and I never played sort of the first 10, 12 games. Am I blowing smoke? Yes, I am, because I take great pride in that, because I want to be the best version I can be. It shows I'm doing the right things. So, for me, I'll never get to the heights that these boys have got to, but listen, I can only be the best version of myself. And I hope that's answered a lot of your questions.
You answered it brilliantly. And what I want to know, because you deserve to remember it, is that you'd been back about maybe 6-7 games before you played Charlton at home.
6-0 or 6-1.
Abel Hernandez scored 33 minutes in. Don't know what Sam Klukas's assist was like, but the scoreboard said Robert Snodgrass 6-0 win. Playing must have been the big thing, but when you get that first goal back for the club and you've had that lonely, hard 16 months where you talked about mental health, you've got to dig deep into things that probably nobody at this table are listening, possibly most people can't understand, not just don't understand, and then you're back and you score.
Yeah.
Different feelings, same as ever?
No,
that moment?
I can't even describe it. It's a surreal feeling. I missed football like you wouldn't believe when I was at the game. I missed it. It's something that had, it made me happy when I was a young boy. It made me happy all the way through careers, a sort of up and down family life. It was football that was a release. Football was everything. And it gets took away from you. And to be honest with you, I was sad. People speak about, oh, you footballers, you're earning money. Who cares? Mm. Who cares? Keep it. Do what you want with it. As soon as it's took away from you, that's how you're a long time retired, and that feeling there is, it's quite unexplainable, really, where you think, you know, you never get told you're not going to play again, and then to say, no, that's what other people might be doing, but I'm playing again. I'm going to show, and I'm going to get. And as soon as I scored that goal, I thought, I cannot wait to score the next one, to do what I need to do and just go through the gears. And you know, that season we got promoted at Wembley, and my family hadn't seen a lot of my games, and it was Randy Robertson's family and my family were in a box together. So that feeling to go up, and my mum and dad's, obviously my mum's still in 70, my dad's 75, and you know, just to see the sheer joy in their face, not to see anything, to say, oh, you're playing in front of a big crowd or anything like that, just to see one of the family from the streets of Glasgow, the boys, he's went and done it. You know what I mean? He's went and he's had rejection, but he's come back. He's had failure, he's come back. And that there is that's the thing that make or break you as a footballer, I believe, you know? And that's what, for me, that those sort of moments there is why you keep playing the game.
Can you name your mum and dad? Yeah, not, they're Christian names, so.
No, my dad's called Stephen Snodgrass, my mum's called Irene Snodgrass, they came from big families, so we always had uncles and aunties around the house and different things, and you know, my mum's only one left in her family. That's it's a special feeling for me, and I left at 19 year old. I know it's not the other side of the world, but giving up that everyday interaction with your family, that is a tough feeling. But what's it for? To go and live your dream.
Earlier on, we had a question, a sponsor's question about your best manager ever? And you answered it brilliantly, because you picked on things from Strachan and you said something from everyone, and they're all different. But a real friend of this show, Steve Bruce, we've had Alex on it, Steve's coming up, and I've told you as well that Steve was a guy who helped me massively in my career. When you worked for him, was it fortunate that in maybe the worst part of your professional career, when you get this brutal injury, was it fortunate that he was your gaffer?
Yeah, I think, listen, I think at that moment in time, let's just say if it was, you know, a manager's first job, just say, and he maybe no experience, how we deal with that, you know, maybe you don't learn that in the your B licence or your A licence or your pro licence.
You have to live it, you have to go through it.
Of course you have to live it. And he went through it as a player. He was just you know, one of the guys, he was a proper man's man, you know. He got what it meant to sort of go through the good times and the bad times. And as you just spoke about there, one of the toughest points for me was that long-term injury. And he got me through. He nurtured me through it. He was speaking to me through it. He was such a, you know, an influential part in my career. He signed me. He took me to Aston Villa. I've remained sort of close to him ever since. And, you know, you speak about the best manager, the all-round manager, I'd have to say him. I'd need to say him, because he brought every single thing along the way in terms of, you know, what it meant. He gets the game. He understands it. Yeah. He's played the game in and out. And he took me sort of 46 months into the rehab, and he pulled me and he says, listen, he says, you don't need to be here. He says, you don't need to be in here every day. Go back to Scotland, see your family. And I thought, I'd never ever experienced this, you know what I mean? He just put his arm around me at the right time.
Spotted that you were driving yourself to the limit, to drive yourself crazy because of how hard you were working.
Yeah.
To shorten a period that was going to have to be 16 months anyway. And you were in boredom, I suppose, yes. Repetition.
Yes, of course.
Being bugged by people saying, how's it going?
Yeah.
Go off and leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why he wanted to take you out of that environment for
he took me away.
A break.
Yeah, he took me away. And he knew how... He's a proper family man, so he knew how special it was to kind of be around them sort of through difficult times, which he'd probably experienced throughout his career.
You used the time he gave you well, didn't you?
Of course I did. But the thing is as well, obviously a lot of people, he lost his mum and dad at the time of Aston Villa. He was going through a lot of sort of health stuff himself, and it just shows the character of the guy, you know, what he's going through, and he was still trying to save. All the lads were all right, you know, focusing for the match on a Saturday, you know, and just sitting with him, and I just probably asked him one day, you know, how are you? You know, you're asking how are we all the time, how are you coping, you know what I mean? And it was just a sort of typical reaction that I would have had if it was me, you know. He was quite sort of emotional, and listen, that just sort of sums him up. He's human like everybody else, and what a hell of a job he's doing that. Sort of Newcastle just now when everybody went against him, and for such a good job Rafa Benitez done before, but you know it's the man he is that sort of the lads would respect up there and the fans and stuff, and he's doing a great job and I wish him well.
I think sometimes life, if you live it to the maximum of your ability, sends you good people.
Yeah, of course.
And life sent you a good person.
Yes, of course.
Nice to be able to say it on the big interview, because you know, we'll take a little musical break in a second or two, but we formed this podcast to be able to teach people that the ridiculous misinterpretation and pigeonholing of footballers and football coaches, where they're all flash, they're all stupid. The whole purpose of this was to bring out the goodness and the wit and the talent and the resilience and the character of the football people we know.
Yep.
So you've helped us do that. I thought we would enjoy this. I'll stop now by saying I'm proud to know you. I mean, it's been fun. It's been funny. I know you can change gears in how you talk and go into different alleys, but hearing that is, you know, it touches you. And my respect for not only using your talent and being where you are, but having come through that is gigantic. And I'll bet you everybody listening feels the same way, Rob. So thanks for your generosity.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Cheers, mate. Thank you. Cheers.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.